This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Thank you. for this day. It has been acknowledged that we can't live without him. Now, about five of us have bumped our head enough, done it our way enough, tried your way enough, and finally came to the conclusion that there is no way you can live without him. A few of us have realized that.
Yes, God.
And then, others of us are trying to figure it out in the midst of job, status, people, preacher conference. We're trying to come to the conclusion that there's no way we can live without him. Believers can't live without him. Watch this. Even unbelievers can't live without him. The atheists, whether or not they want to recognize him or not, only reason they're here is because of him. Because he's God. He's God all by himself. Will you join me in celebrating a wonderful God in whom we live, move, and have our being? Come on, come on, come on. If you know you can't make it without him, to God. Glory to God. Is anybody else like me? You're learning. You can make it without some people. You can make it without some stuff. You can even make it when you don't feel so well. But you've learned you can't make it without the Lord. And you've learned that in your life. And you can't make it without the Lord. Glory to God. Good morning, saints of God. Good morning, people of God. What a blessed day it is. Wonderful Sunday morning. God has done it again, giving us a brand new day. To him be the glory. To God be the glory. All that he has done. On your best day, give him the glory. On your worst day, give him the glory. When you feel like it, give him the glory. When you don't feel like it, give him the glory. When they love you, give him the glory. When they talking about you all day long, give him the glory. Glory to God. Glory. Father, we bless you today. Thank you for being our everything. All that we need, all that we need is in you. In you we place our trust. We glorify you and reverence your name. We magnify your name. We reverence your name. You're God. You sit high and you look low. Nothing shocks you. Nothing surprises you. Nothing catches you off guard. Because you're God. And you're God all by yourself. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this worship encounter. Been able to tap into your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we need to hear a word that will enhance our worship. Will you speak now, O Father, like only you can? I yield myself to you now, O God. Ask you to have your way in this place for your people. To you be the glory. May you be glorified. May the body be edified. And may the enemy be horrified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord one more time. Glory to God. That song says, there's no way I can live without him, not them. And when you stop worrying about them and focus on him, Lord have mercy. To all of our ministers, let me get to this. To all of our ministers and to our staff and all of you who are worshiping with us virtually, we thank God for your presence, and we certainly thank the Lord for his presence today. What a blessing it is just to be amongst the living in the land of the dying. The songwriter said it like this: I'm glad to be in service one more time. He didn't have to let me live. He did not have to let me live. So I'm not going to have my mouth stuck out. I'm not going to have my arms folded. I'm not going to be arrogant and stuck up. I'm glad to be in service one more time. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Turn with me if you would. We want to move one page over from where we were last week. Turn with me if you would to the book of Acts chapter number 20. The book of Acts chapter number 20. There the Holy Spirit has guided us to share a word with God's people today. Is that all right?
Amen.
We'll share a word with God's people and we'll let you go and do what you do. Look, to all of y'all who are worshiping with us online, listen, be encouraged. Be encouraged. God loves you. God is taking care of your issue. God knows all about it. We are praying for you. We are praying with you. And know that God has something great in store. We, in a few more weeks, we're going to come back to the sanctuary. I know you're getting antsy. I know you're getting nervous. I know you're getting irritable. In a few more weeks, you'll be back in here worshiping together. But now, I want you to even virtually, can't nobody see you.
That's right.
So I want you to practice your praise when you come into the house, at your house right now. Because true praise and worship has nothing to do with these four walls. But I want my prayer that you've experienced something at the house throughout these last 13 months, that you won't need us to pump you up, that you already have a praise on the inside, and we'll catch on fire with you when we come back into the sanctuary together. Amen. 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 We thank God today for our music minister, our praise team, blessing us so richly in song. Well done, ladies and gentlemen, as always. We are so grateful to God for your work, your worship. Thank God for your labor and what you do to set the atmosphere for worship. Amen. We praise God to all of our staff who do so much to make sure that we have what we need and we're comfortable and able to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank God for all of you. Praise God. Amen. I'm so grateful to have one of my former players to come and share with me today, and Brother Aubrey Helton and his lovely lady friend. We thank God for him who snuck up on his old coach. And we thank God for him from being here with me today. Amen. Acts chapter 20, I want to begin reading at verse number 7 and a few of the following. That's why it's always good to treat people right away from church.
Amen.
Because you never know whose life you're impacting. Amen. That's a word for somebody.
Amen.
You just can't be saved in the church.
Right.
You got to be worth something when you leave.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 20, that's not the sermon. Let me go and do the sermon. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse number 7, very familiar passage of scripture. Word of God reads thusly: And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart in the tomorrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Poor Paul. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, poor Paul, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread, and eaten and talked a long while, Paul, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive. Missed it. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall last and stand forever. I want to tag this text this morning, after the fall. I want to talk this morning about after the fall. Amen. God's word for his people. Amen. After the fall. For those of us who've ever broken bones in our body, it's painful. It should hurt. If you've had some issues with your extremities and broken it or sprained it, it is very difficult to function like you normally would function. And it is prescribed to us sometimes to either take medication. It is prescribed for us to either go through some physical therapy, or it may even be prescribed for us to have some surgery to reconnect the broken bone, to put what was put out of place, put it back into place. Because if you do not go through the process of putting it back into place, you do further damage to your not only the issue, the bone that was broken, but to the whole body in general. If you do not handle it and resolve it, there are some times that even you're no longer in pain and still have a broken bone. Because you get so accustomed to it being broken and you become numb to the pain, you start feeling as though you really don't need to do anything about it. But the problem is your alignment is off. Problem is now that you may walk with a limp or may not have full mobility and full strength and capacity to that particular extremity or bone that has been broken. And so even if you have surgery, even if you have medication, even if you go through therapy, you must go through that process called rehabilitation. You must do some work, painful work, because the goal is to get that bone back to working again. The goal is to be able to get that body back to functioning the way it can be, because if that one bone, if that one extremity, if that one limb, if that one tendon, if that one cartilage is not where it should be, then the whole body is going to suffer. No matter where it is on the body, if it's not right, then it's going to be able to tell. This is why they talk about the appendix. Nobody knows what the appendix is. Nobody knows what it does. But if it messes around and ruptures and you don't take care of it, the whole body is going to suffer. And many times, certain parts of that body, like that appendix, we don't know what it does, but if it inflames, if it ruptures, then now the whole body must have to suffer. I believe today that we as the church, there is a great indictment that's going to be put against God's church, because we've let body parts be broken. We've let ruptured body organs be ruptured and miserable and decay and rot and have not done anything about it. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can't tell you anything else, I want to tell you today, the church is not a museum for people who are great, but it is a hospital for people who are hurting and who know that they need the Lord to move in their life. The church, my friends, is not a place for you and I to look cute, smell good, sound good, and talk about how holy we are, how great we are, how mighty we are, but it is the place for the high, for the drunk, for the messed up, from the distraught, from the broken, from the toe up, from the toe down, to the divorced, to the miserable, to the crack addict, to the dope addict, to the alcoholic, to the prostitute, to the dope dealer. For anybody who knows they need the Lord, it is a place of rescue. Amen. That's what the church is. And the body of Christ has missed the mark of what we're here for. And we're letting body parts break and do nothing about the parts of the body that break because it wasn't me. Can I preach like I feel it? We've seen body parts break and feel the pain, yet we've numbed ourselves. We've taken so much Tylenol, taken so much Aleve to numb ourselves of the pain so I don't have to deal with what's broken. And better yet, not deal with what's broken, not deal with who is broken. And there are broken preachers, broken deacons, broken leaders who can't get the help, won't ask for help because the church has grown comfortable with broken people. And our goal is to show broken people about a God who can put you back together again. I wish I had three people. I'd be number four who saying at this point in your life, I'm tired of playing church. I really want to be the church. I'm going through hell and high water every day of my life. I need something real. I need something better. I want to grow. I want to live better than I'm living. I'm trying to be calm. I'm trying to be calm. But can I be honest with y'all today? I'm so sick of fake people, I don't know what to do. I'm so tired of fake Christians who love me on Sunday and lie on Monday. I'm so tired of fake Christians who don't know what side of the fence they're on. One minute you're saved, next minute you don't know. One minute you're a Christian, next minute you're a question. I'm sick of fake people. Because I am broken and I need you to help me heal. And if you ain't gonna help me heal, hold me, Lord. Leave me the hell alone. I'd rather you not touch me or talk to me if you're not going to help me heal. Because we're doing more damage to people than we're doing good to them because we don't know how to heal folk. And there's an indictment that's going to come against God's church. You better be ready. You claim you want to come back in church. You ready to come back in church? You better be ready. Because we're not playing with folk who ain't trying to do no better. But it's going to be some broken people coming in here. And that's why God got us in this pandemic, so that we as the church can regroup, recalibrate, reset, so that when people come in broken, we know what it's about. It ain't about what they look like, ain't about what they got on, ain't about what you know about them. It's about them meeting Jesus. Better be ready. Because I'm tired of having blood on my hands. It's some blood on our hands because we're doing more damage than we are good. I shouldn't leave the church feeling worse than I came. I shouldn't be more toe up than it was before I came. I should have just stayed in the crack house. I should have just stayed on the corner if y'all ain't gonna help me. If y'all gonna lie like this, I know where liars go. Because the reality of it is this. When nobody wants to tell you, but somebody gotta be bold enough to tell us the truth. Everybody under the sound of my voice has fallen. I don't hear so good. Everybody under the sound of my voice has fallen. Or you falling right now. And before you get stuffy and arrogant, you may fall down the road. Here's the shout for the church, that your fall does not have to be fatal. That's what we're supposed to show people when they come into the contact with people of God, that your fall is not fatal. You ain't got to die from this. I'm going to help you get back on your feet again. Because the fall does not have to be final, and the fall does not have to be fatal. That's the sermon. But if I got to give them a check, I got to deal with this text so I can earn my check. But that's the sermon right there, that your fall is not fatal. But the problem is the church is so despondent and detached from people who've fallen, people dying for no reason. I'm in Acts chapter 20. Paul, great apostle, has gotten himself in trouble in Ephesus in chapter 19, so he's on the run. Instead of going back to Jerusalem like he wanted to do, in his spirit he discerns he needs to go back through Macedonia and Troas and deal with the folks that he's been sharing with at some point in time. Because Paul realizes that the way he's living and the preaching he's doing, he might not get the chance to get back to Troas. Because Troas is the place where a lot of contention is taking place with some good Christians that he wants to build with and live amongst and share a word to, not knowing he's going to get back to them again. The Bible says that he stays with them 7 days so that he could have church with them. He stays and hangs around Troas so that he can have worship and have church with his people. But now understand that the Bible said they had a Lord's Day. I mean, this is what we see Sunday being the Lord's Day, different than that Saturday Jewish Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Sunday, they have church. But many of these people at Troas, watch this, are servants and slaves. This is not the elite. This is not the bourgeoisie of Christianity. These are the folk who got to work for a living. And some are considered to be slaves and servants. But look at the stewardship of these saints. Instead of saying we can't have church because we don't have 11 o'clock, we working. Instead of not having Sunday school because we got to work, they say we're going to have church tonight. I done lost some of y'all right there. Because they want the Lord so much, they're willing to be flexible. So that they can get a word from the Lord. Pick up in our text in verse 7, this first day of the week, Paul is excited to have church with these saints at Troas. It's night service. And the plan is to break bread. This is the love feast. It's a little bit of time after the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, so it's a few days after Easter when this takes place. Some 20 years past resurrection, but it's the time of year where you celebrate Easter and resurrection. So it's believed that Paul is preparing them to have a love feast. They're breaking bread. They brought a potluck dinner. It's a potluck. You bring what you got. I bring what I got. Y'all, we go eat together. You know, I ain't worrying about who brought this, who brought that, who cooked this, who cooked that. I'm just so glad to see you. I don't care what you cook. We're going to mix in what we bring, and we're going to eat and have church together. They break bread with the love feast. They go hear a word, and then they go break bread and celebrate the Lord's dying, burial, and resurrection. That's the plan. They go. It's like first Sunday. They're gonna break bread. They plan on cooking and eating, and they're not at a church. They're at somebody's house. Ooh, Lord. Because the only place you can have church is at a church. You ain't the church. I know that ain't good English, but that's just good theology. It's bad English, but good theology. Because if you're going to be the church, only place you can have church is church. You ain't the church. Uh-huh. And so they got to play at somebody's house having worship. And this is the plan. And so lo and behold, while Paul preaches, and once again, now understand that Paul is preaching here. And so Paul knows that I may not get back to him. So let me give them all God has given me to give them. And so Luke, with his funny self, writes it and says that Paul talks and gives a speech and a sermon until midnight. Long sermon. They started night church, but it's a long sermon. Now, before, let me park and deal with this, because a very fickle, irresponsible view of this text will say the danger of long preaching.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on now.
Most folk look at the text and deal with the fact Paul preached so long, the young man got sleepy and died because of a long sermon. That's a very elementary view of the word of God. That's called eisegesis, putting something in there that does not belong there. And the reason I say that is because the same sermon got him up. let me preach. Let me argue for a moment and tell you that it's not the sermon that knocked him out. It was the setting.
Come on, Pastor.
The sermon didn't put him to sleep. The setting put him to sleep. Come on, come on, come on. Read the Bible like I read it. You got one, read it. Watch this. Bible says they had night church. They've worked all day. The young man worked all day. And after a long day of work, and you finally sit still, come here, ain't you a little bit sleepy? Let me push it. Bible says that he was in the third level of the house. He was at a high level. And the Bible says lights were all over the place. I'm not a historian, but electricity was not in Acts chapter 20, which means that candles were burning. And if candles and wax was burning, that means smoke was in the house. And the ventilation and the warmth of the room will put you to sleep. But we love to say it's the sermon that put him to sleep, but it's what's going on in the house that put him to sleep. It's some of y'all hot mess that puts folks to sleep. It's some of them lies you tell that put folks to sleep. Some people die before we get to the sermon because of the atmosphere that we don't set.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the text, y'all. I ain't left the text yet. It ain't the long sermon. Because watch this. The young man came to church. Nobody made him go because he wanted to hear a word. Y'all missed it. You got to stop getting mad at people who come to church for the right reason. Just because you came for the wrong reason. It's the setting that's killing folk. It ain't the sermons. And we getting on pastors about a 10-minute service, and people ain't living nothing 30 minutes. I wish he'd sit down. I wish he'd sit down. Why? Because of the setting. It's warm in here. And when I get warm and that ventilation and the smoke, I get sleepy. The fire that's been set in the house is putting folk to sleep. And it's causing them not to pay attention to what God is saying because of the setting so messed up. How God go heal folk through the word and you got alt with your praise team member? That's a bad setting. How God go deliver and set the captive free and you worried about what somebody got on? That's a bad setting. How somebody go get delivered and chains be broken from their life and you worried about who ain't there this week and your buddy and pal and who preaching? That's a bad setting. How you going to be worrying about how can God deliver and lift somebody up and heal a family and you worried about I got to go count that money so I can go do that? It's a bad setting. Cause your mind on other stuff. Your body's here with me. But your mind is on the... And it's bringing a bad setting. And the first thing we do is blame the preacher. Can I park here? Can I pitch my tent just for a minute? Because I got to camp out right here and show us. Because here's the problem with this church. The issue with this text is that we know where Utica falls from. But we don't know what everybody else is falling. Because how, can I ask you a question? If it's a house full of folk who love the Lord and love each other, if it's supposed to be what we say it is, you saw him tipping. You saw him off balance. You saw something wasn't right, and you let him fall anyway. What kind of Christian are you to watch me about to fall and won't do anything to prevent my fall? Yeah. Bible says Eutychus, this young man Eutychus, maybe a late teenager, early 20s, who worked all day, showed up to church. Listened to the word, heard Paul. It's not that he didn't care about what Paul was saying, but the setting. He couldn't take the setting and a sermon. And this time the setting won and knocked him out. He fell. Bible says he was in a deep sleep. He got comfortable in that sleep because nobody tried to get his attention. Nobody prevented him from falling. So he fell. The Bible says he fell dead. Three stories. Here's the problem with his fall. Number one, the fall, this ain't my points, but this is what I want to show you. This fall was painful because falls hurt. It's painful. Second problem he got is personal, because he the only one fail this time. So now he's feeling something that only he feels, because he the one who falls. So even if he do get back up again, he got to deal with the guilt and the embarrassment of a fall, because this fall was personal. Here's the one I want y'all to really hear about this text, because this fall was public. I wish I could preach this thing like I feel it. Because it's one thing to fall privately. But what happens when you fall and everybody saw it? When everybody know your dirt. Everybody see your name in the newspaper. They read the arrest report and they see your name. Now the streets get to talking. Facebook get to talking. Snapchat about your business. Putting you out there because you fell publicly. Everybody know what happened to you. It's a problem because now they finna act like they don't know what falls look like. Because nobody saw it. And now we trying to judge folk by seen faults instead of prevented faults. Publicized faults versus private falls. You just didn't get busted this time. You did the same thing. You did the same stuff. Do the same stuff. You just didn't fall this time and got the nerve to watch your brother die from the same thing you living in. Because you were sleepy too. Only thing woke you up was watching him fall. Oh, I wish I had time. See, some of us learn by watching the mistakes of others, and you say, I better watch myself. I better do a little better, because if that can happen to him, if it happened to her, that can happen to me. Well, let me sober myself up. Let me watch myself. But I can't. Once I told y'all, I can't take fake church. Amen. When I'm around folk who act like they ain't never fail, all right. I don't see how she could do that. Rewind. You see how? Look back. You see how? Look now. You see how? I don't understand how. How these young girls can wear that, and I don't understand how you could have. I don't have feelings like that. I don't have feelings, but I put my flesh under subjection. I do this. I don't understand how she can be so this and that. You're lying, and the truth ain't in you. Everything with a heartbeat got some feelings. But see, everybody died out from your old gang. And nobody around remembers you. You outlived your fall. Nobody's there to tell the story about when you fail. And you see a young sister struggling, trying to take care of kids by herself. And you don't understand how she's not tempted by a man wanting to just give her money. You don't understand that. And some of your kids and grandkids don't know who Popo is to this day. Because your fall was private. Now you can't understand how this young man could sling. If not for prohibition, Pa Ran and Pawpaw now would still be bootlegging. That what they was brewing was not medicine. It's medicine, all right. You drink it, you forgot what was wrong with you by the time you get through drinking it. I wish I had some folk who understood real church with me. Because everything you saw growing up in church was not the Holy Ghost. I got happy at church today. Holy Ghost was in me today. How you got the Holy Ghost and you lying on the preacher, lying on each other, on the phone with mess? How is the Holy Ghost? You tearing up pews. That ain't the God. That's the devil's in you in the presence of God that ain't happy. All this stuff wasn't Holy Ghost. Amen. It was just privatized falls. Get close to some of them deacons telling you you ain't good enough and smell their breath. You got that young girl has the public fall of being pregnant. But the deacon who got her pregnant is private fall because there's no evidence. She got proof that she did it, but there's no evidence of the man who got her pregnant who's sitting there carrying a motion and the second to put her out of church. Something wrong. Here's the problem we got. Attention in the text. Young man falls, that's bad enough. But look at the text. The text says he falls out of the church. He's in church, but the setting is so bad, and the word is going forth, but because of the setting overtaking him, he falls not in the church. He falls out the window, and the place where he falls is outside the church. Did your Bible say the same thing? That he fell out the window, which means he fell out of the church. Now, here's the funny part. Folks inside the church know who fell and know where they fell. And from the front, like they don't know somebody fell. The difference between deliverance and where people are is our ability to get out these four walls. Because some folk, it ain't that they just, not they evil, they just fell out the church. Stop telling folk this lie. Y'all ready for this lie we tell? That you fell from grace? Because here's what I love about my God. You fall in grace. Y'all ain't hearing God. Y'all ain't hearing God. I want to talk to some people who done fell, and God still has restored you, brought you back. You still living, still blessed, still prospering, and you fell. That ain't good enough. How many of y'all fail and people don't know how bad you fail? Don't know what you fail from, don't know who you fail for, and God has brought you up. Now you tell me once again that you...
This is KAYT-FM.
881 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport.
K223BI.
98.9 Monroe, West Monroe.
K255BT.
100.1 Lake Charles.
K261EB. And KQJO-FM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Welcome to Money Making Conversations. It's the show that shares the secrets of success experienced firsthand by marketing and branding expert Rashawn McDonald. I will know. He's given me advice on many occasions, and in case you didn't notice, I'm not.